get some warm weather this weekend.
It's going to be gorgeous. Mid-70s.
I know it.
It's going to be 75 and sunny on Saturday, 76 on Sunday.
Wow.
And then we're going to see 70s and 60s. I mean, we're not going below 57 here the rest of the week. 70 tomorrow for a high. It's lovely.
It's lovely out there. All right. So one thing that was lovely and really fun, last night on Watch What Happens Live, Alison Brie sat and Rebel Wilson sat down with Andy. And my friend Shannon said, Andy doesn't look good. He's got very gray skin. What's going on with Andy?
Oh, he's stressing.
Well, I said he's got a lot of lawsuits against him, but she's like, he doesn't look good.
He also has like a 5-year-old and a 2-year-old.
That's what I told
her. He's in the thick of
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
And he's in his 50s.
Yeah.
So it's a totally different jam than if you have a 5-year-old and a 2-year-old in your 30s
you
or
have a
even
little
your
more
40s.
Energy. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's just kind of funny because she's like, he doesn't look good. But they were both delightful.
Yeah, it was a good episode.
It was delightful.
Did you see Hart on Jimmy Fallon? My God, Ann and Nancy Sound, they did Barracuda. They crushed it.
They're coming to Grand Casino Hinckley, and you can't get a ticket.
I mean, they seem so happy. See, rock stars never have to retire.
They can go on tour when they want.
Yeah, Dan Wilson. I'm like, you're so lucky.
That's true.
He said rock.
I never thought about that.
Yeah, because they can take a hiatus, whatever they want, not tour.
Yeah.
You know, they don't have a 9-to-5.
They don't.
Awesome. Or a 3-to-6.
If they have new music, whatever.
Yes.
People always want it. They're in our nostalgia wave or whatever we called it. But anyway, Rebel Wilson, this book.
Rebel Rising? I want to read it.
I kind of do, too. Grant, what's the first cut we have with Rebel?
Well, we've got Rebel. She counts down the top 5 most rebellious things she's ever done.
Okay, let's start there.
Want to start with that?
Perfect.
One? All right.
It is time for Watch What Happens 5. Despite being named Rebel, practically everything Rebel Wilson does is pitch perfect, but I want her to tap into the moments where she was a troublemaking queen as she counts down the top 5 most rebellious things she has ever done. Okay, Rebel, top 5 most rebellious things, number 5.
Okay, I once locked a teacher in a cupboard at a high school.
She locked him.
It's actually a legend at my high school.
I'm sure it is.
I'll still talk about
it. I bet it was a legend even before you became famous. Now it's a double legend. Number 4.
Okay, get ready for this one. I have illegally tinted windows on my car in Los Angeles. It's illegal, and I have been pulled over twice for it.
Wow.
But it looks cool.
Yes.
So I don't know why it's illegal.
I don't either.
You have
number 3.
Roll down your windows if you see cops. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know why I know that.
Well, number 3, in 2020, I decided to have my year of health.
Okay.
And to get healthier, but everybody in my team said not to lose weight. So, yeah,
wow, so that was right. Okay, yeah. Number 2.
Yeah. Well, I put this that I had a baby in a very untraditional way by doing IVF and
having
a surrogate, and it's still quite unconventional. So
yes, it is
not what everybody's doing, but
number 1
awesome for me. The most rebellious thing, I come from a family of dog showers, and my legacy was supposed to be a famous dog shower, but I ditched it all and became an actress.
So. Hell yes, and a superstar.
Oh my gosh.
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I didn't get that she did IVF first and then did surrogate. I couldn't figure that one out. Like,
well,
maybe to retrieve her eggs.
To fertilize her egg to be carried by a surrogate.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm.
That's what that means.
I was kind of confused. What we're not going to get is the best story. I don't think about her little thing in the bushes.
Oh, yeah.
This is the best story. She ate a pizza. She was in a hike in what canyon?
Bryce.
Canyon.
Mm-hmm.
And she had to poop. And she says it with her cute accent. I had to poop. And there was nowhere to go.
Mm-hmm.
And there were bushes. And I had to poop. And I thought, what's the worst thing that's going to happen? So she goes behind these bushes that aren't even, it's a tiny little bush, and someone pulls up right into the driveway. Mm-hmm. And she thought it was the owner of the house that she's pooping in the bushes.
Oh, no.
And she's just sitting there pooping. And then, but luckily for her, whoever got out of the car went to the house on the left instead of right towards
her. Didn't see her.
And she just said, it was the most horrible thing.
Yeah, horrific.
But just, I ate a pizza, I had to poop. But anyone who knows when you've had to poop where it's the wrong place at the wrong time, you don't have a choice.
Yeah.
You just don't have a choice.
My mom at the Renaissance Festival in the parking lot. On a hot June day after after her niece got married, and we were all very late the night before.
Oh.
Yeah, my mom was just like, oh, my God.
This is as humiliating as it's going to get, right. But I got to go. Stand around me. So she was really cute. She was cute about that.
Let's do the...
Alison Brie?
No, let's do the other Rebel one where she... Because she hasn't been on the show, so she just plead the fifth.
Yes.
Loved it. Here we go.
Rebel Wilson, the time has come for you to plead the fifth. Yay! Here we go. All right. These are all based on your best-selling book,
okay,
Rebel Rising.
So I probably already said everything then.
How much money would it take for you to work with Sacha Baron Cohen again? By the way, you can plead the fifth to one of these questions.
No money ever. Yeah, no I have money. A no a-holes policy. Yeah.
Good.
$20 million, you would not.
No.
$30 million, you would not. $50 million to do a film with Sacha Baron.
$50
million. Wow. You wrote in your book that Russell Crowe once told you to F off when you tried to go up to he and Nicole Kidman at a restaurant. What would you say to Russell Crowe if you ran into him in a restaurant now?
Well, I have run into him like quite a bit.
Oh, really?
And told him the story. He's like, yeah, that sounds right. Because that's just him. Like,
right.
You know, I walked up to the table to give Nicole like a program of a theater play I was in, and he just turns around and goes, F off. Like, and I just, like, he's just, I don't know, he's awesome guy.
Yes.
But yeah, so we've joked about it since.
You know what? Some might consider it to be an honor to be told to F off by Russell Crowe.
He's a legend.
Yes. In the memoir, you also write that you think that Adele hates you and that at an Oscars after party, she was bitchy to you when you walked up to say hello. Why do you think she doesn't like you?
Okay, so at these, like, big parties, you know, at the Oscars and stuff, pretty much everyone is friendly. Like, pretty much everyone.
Totally. You're in a good mood. You're nominated for an award.
Yes.
Yeah, and she's like the one person that just like always, I went, oh, congratulations on the new album, you know, and then she just like turns away. But she just, I don't know, she might not know who I am or there might not be anything there. It just might have been those few times.
Okay, well.
Yeah.
Guess what?
What?
You didn't plead the fifth.
That's right.
Very good. And Alison Brie is promoting Apples Don't Fall or Apples Never Fall.
Never Fall.
Yeah.
The book we talked about at length, Liam Moriarty.
Yeah.
About the tennis family.
Still haven't watched it.
Yeah.
Good luck. Good luck. Right.
Shannon's like, you guys both hated it. Why would you watch it?
Yeah, I know. I won't watch it.
It's on Peacock.
I guess just because it's been buzzy.
It's got a great cast. Sam Neill, Annette Bening, Alison Brie, the oldest daughter, the other guy from White Lotus is in it.
Theoretically, it sounds like we would like it.
But it's such a dysfunctional
family. There's no one to like.
Yeah. That's it.
That's always a problem.
Yep.
I'm going to watch Elsbeth instead because I know I like her.
Yeah, I do too. Yeah. I did too. So this is Alison Brie talking about
a community
movie happening.
Our number one question for you, Alison. Daily Jeff Annie wants to know, what do you hope for Annie in the community movie?
Oh, wow. What do I hope for Annie? You know, I hope that Annie hasn't changed too much because I loved her just the way she was.
There you go. When do you shoot?
I have no idea.
Really?
But we got a script, which is a major update.
Okay.
We have a script. You heard it here first.
Wow.
So now it's just the usual.
And have you read the script?
I've read the script.
Okay. Wow.
And it's funny.
Oh, good, good, good. All right.
Oh, that's going to be
fun. That's scoop, right?
That is, yeah. There's been a lot of rumors about there's a script out there, but this is the first time, because I love the show Community, and this is the first time I've heard any of the actors or actresses tied to it say that they've read it and liked it and that it's a really, you know, there's been a lot of stipulation, but it's going to be good. And I think the only one that's not a part of it is
Chevy Chase,
because he was an a-hole on set to a lot of the people.
And she was asked about that. And she said, you know, Chevy Chase was overheard talking on the Marc Maron podcast about how he just didn't like it.
Yeah.
He didn't like it at all. And she said, and I was listening. And she said it would have been blistering if I read the headlines. Chevy Chase hated the Community, working on Community or something. She goes, I listened. He has the right to his own opinion. That's who he is.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not offended. And Shannon, we're watching this last night, thinks she practiced that. And I'm like, I don't think so.
Maybe.
But she was very candid.
Yeah.
And just said, I'm glad I heard it live.
Right.
Because my feelings might have been hurt if I heard it just the headlines.
Yeah. Of course.
Yeah.
Well, don't you remember the old Girl Scout or Brownie game? Telephone?
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Just one person and the story is already changing if you don't hear it firsthand. And
it doesn't. I mean, Chevy Chase, as much as he's an amazing actor, we've all known he's kind of a...
He's been a dink.
He's been a dink a lot of his career.
He's been a dink a lot of his career. And I don't get where that comes from, but whatever.
Yeah, there's a lot of rumors from the golf movie that he was in. What's that? Gosh, I'm
Fletch.
Trying, no.
No. Oh, Caddyshack.
Caddyshack. He was awful to work with on set. And it was that was where I heard it was. And on SNL. Rumor. That's why he doesn't come back to SNL.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah. All right. There we go. Yeah. When we come back, it's time for the Dirt Alert.
All these crazy alien stories can't be true, can they? Hey, it's Stephen Diener, host of the Unidentified Alien Podcast. And whether you're new to the conversation or have been looking into it for years, you need to check out the fastest growing alien show out there, the Unidentified Alien Podcast, or UAP for short. There's a crazy amount of alien encounter stories out there from all over the world. And the beauty of it is that I bring them all to you and let you decide what you believe. Download and subscribe to UAP on any of the major podcasting platforms. And you can also find it on UAPpodcast.com.
I'm Bradley Trainer,
and I'm Don McClain. We have a podcast called Blinded by the Item.
A blind item is gossip about a celebrity with their name left out. It's a guessing game, and you can play along. The item might be like, this A-list star carries a Birkin bag worth more than the average person's house to the gym to work out.
Pretty sure that's J-Lo.
And P.S. the person behind all of this is Kris Jenner,
LLC. We drop a new episode every weekday so the fun never ends.
Blinded by the Item. Listen wherever you get podcasts and watch us on the Blinded by the Item YouTube channel.
Grant,
yes.
Let's spill some dirt, shall we?
Yes, let's start out just with a little bit of, as we know, this last weekend on Sunday, Curb Your Enthusiasm ended its long run on HBO. It was a great run. And I'm not going to spoil any of the episode for anybody. If you haven't seen it yet, you have to see it.
It's good.
Very good. Fun tie-in to other things. But that's all I'm going to give you in the episode. But there was a very touching moment at the end of everything and from a few of the main characters that I want to mention. So obviously our guy Leon JB Smoove was talking about, you know, his time on the show. He joined the show in season 6, was over 70 episodes. And he basically said, you know, he believes that he left a lot on the table. And that's the thing about characters that make them iconic and legendary. This is what he was telling Variety. They give you a lot, but you know, it's not everything. And then he also mentioned that he pauses and considers the impact of Curb Your Enthusiasm at large on himself. And he said, I might never get a gift like that again, which one character that I can say will for always live
for
in
sure.
infamy is Leon. And I just like those words. But also Richard Lewis, the late, great Richard Lewis, and Cheryl Hines had something to say right as they wrapped up the final scene. And I've got the audio here. I just want to play it.
Okay.
It's a little bit of Richard Lewis, what he had to say about Jerry, or David, and then also Cheryl Hines, his on-screen wife and ex-wife throughout the show.
Mm-hmm. All right. That's a wrap on the funniest show ever!
Richard Lewis.
Larry David has treated me like a god, and all of you have. And this is the greatest experience of my career, and I love each and every one of you. I'm honored to be working with arguably the greatest sitcom writer in the last two centuries. And God bless all of you. And thanks for being so sweet to me.
Right, and they're all standing up together. And then Cheryl comes in.
I was thinking about you because my entire life changed when I met you. And our crew, oh my God, you guys, thank you for everything. Larry, I love you.
Yeah, so, and then they go on, and the whole crew bought Larry David a portrait of himself because they said, buy the man that has everything, right?
I love that.
A portrait that's twice the size of this window in front of me, and it's his ugly mug with the weird look on his face, and every cast member, every crew member signed it.
Aww.
And so kind of a fun memory for him to have. It's just, you know, if you haven't had a chance to watch that show, watch it. If you're, I don't want to say anymore because I don't want to spoil anything.
Yeah, I know. I had to avoid all spoilers yesterday, too.
I know.
There were so many think pieces and this and that, and I'm like, oh, God. Let's give people 48 hours.
Yeah, exactly. We've got
even more.
Yeah, exactly. But we also have to mention this. This is some big news out of the, I would say, Game of Thrones universe. Kit Harington says the Jon Snow Game of Thrones spinoff is no longer in development.
Oh, I think that's good.
I do too.
Could they not find a story to tell?
That's exactly what it was. So he was promoting his movie that's coming out called Blood for Dust. It's out April 19th. And he spoke, you know, and he just talked about how, you know, they didn't have really any story to tell. Exactly. They couldn't find the right story to tell. So the project is not active and not in development anymore. But the author, George R.R. Martin, he later confirmed this in a blog post. He said, "It was Kit Harington who brought the idea to us. I cannot tell you the names of the writers and showrunners since this has not been cleared for release. But Kit brought it to us in his own team. And it looked terrific, and he thinks that their team was terrific, but obviously nothing is going to come of it. So, and I agree with you, Lori. I don't think we need a Jon Snow prequel.
I don't remember either. When we got that news, we were like, well,
what story is there to tell?
I mean, because right before, he was minimal.
He was boring.
I mean, it was, kind of.
But he was like, Jon Snow.
He developed in Game of Thrones. What's there to develop prior to that? That was my biggest question.
Yeah.
You know, so.
And I always thought after his Wilding, you know, whatever her character's name was, he became less interesting. And then wasn't there incest or something?
Yeah, a little bit. Yes. Mm-hmm.
What's her name? Khaleesi?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's one of those. Yeah. Just wasn't much to be had there. But yeah. I'm with you, Lori and Julia. I think I'm okay with that.
I'm okay with this not happening. It seems fine.
Absolutely. But something that needs to happen is we need to get a renewal of Law & Order Organized Crime.
This has
yet to be had, but this is pretty cool. So there was an interview that happened recently, and Chris Mulaney, obviously, we know when he came back to the, you know, to...
Chris Maloney?
Maloney, excuse me. I was called Maloney. Yeah, Maloney. He came, you know, looking good. I remember when we first were talking about him coming back, and he was on the cover of People or whatever. He looked fantastic.
Yeah, zaddy.
Yeah, his on-screen family, though, has become a big part of the show. Dean Norris, who you might remember from the brother-in-law from...
Breaking Bad,
thank you very much. And he was also most recently, if you did see the Curb Your Enthusiasm final, he was the judge in Atlanta for the whole final episode. Well, for the final part of it there. Mm-hmm. But he has become a big part of that whole show.
He's Stabler's brother.
Oh, his brother,
got
yeah.
it. Yeah, Michael, yeah. I don't watch it, you guys. I'm writing it down as something I'm going to love to watch. It's
just, Michael Trotter is the other brother. You know, they love playing the Stabler brothers. Mm-hmm. And also Ellen Bernstein's
the mom.
I mean, it's such a great family dynamic, great cast. The show needs to be renewed, and it's yet to be renewed. So I just wanted to bring that to your attention, that we are yet to see that renewed, and it's doing very, I mean, in our eyes, I think it's doing very, very well. But with some time we have left here, let's go down some real estate news here. Merv Griffin's massive La Quinta estate is up for sale. It has 7 residents on it and over 40 acres. You guys know about this?
Wow.
Amazing place.
I do know that Merv Griffin had a lot of real estate.
I know his house in Palm Springs.
Yeah.
So he transformed this abode outside of LA into resemble its Yves Saint Laurent's famed Marrakesh residence. Thank you, Lori. So the prime residence features 5,409 square feet of living space, 2 additional homes known as the West Building and the Gate Building that are about 2,000 square feet apiece also. And it also has a handful of 500 square foot, like, guest house that have known to host a lot of famous people in the past, like President Ronald Reagan, First Lady Nancy Reagan, Zsa Zsa Gabor, Robert Loggia, all kinds of great names. But it's up for sale for a whopping $36 million if you got it. So, yeah, you know, I know we always like to get into the real estate.
I love real estate.
So, yeah. Yeah, that's about all I got for you right now, guys.
Thanks, Grant. That was great.
Well, I want everyone to know that because, like, I had answered this question from several people.
Okay.
You know, eclipse. This, why does it always have to be something? The weather, the snow, this. What, you know what's coming next?
What?
Nature's
Silent
kings.
Weather.
No, nature's kings of the calendar. Crawling out from underground every 13 or 17 years. Cicada.
Yeah.
Like a cicada geddon about to happen
like
this summer.
Big time.
So let's just marvel at the trillions of the evolution's most bizarro wonders, the good old red-eyed periodical cicadas that have pumps in their heads and jet-like muscles in their rears. And they are about to emerge in numbers not seen in decades, possibly centuries. So just think about it, that these creatures know to crawl out only every 13 to 17 years, first of all.
Because
incredible.
It's 17 years from when they hatch their eggs.
But it's 13 or 17, you know.
Till they even are born.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a long...
They stay buried year after year until they surface and take over a landscape and cover the houses with exoskeletons and making the ground crunchy. This spring, an unusual cicada double dose is about to happen in a couple parts of the U.S. So like the totality of the eclipse, this is just going to be a cicada getting in a few places. So the last time these two different broods of cicadas came out together on the same year, wait for it, 1803, when Thomas Jefferson, who wrote about the cicadas in his garden book, but called them locusts, was president. And so if you've been fascinated by the solar eclipse, just know the cicadas are weirder and bigger, and we've got trillions of these amazing living...
I've never seen one.
Organ, and yeah, they come out of theirs, they climb up the trees.
Really?
It's just a sight.
Where
would
we have seen them?
Oh, I mean, I guess I was, I mean, I saw them as a kid out in the golf course all the time, but they're about, you know, they're
that big.
They're
right?
big.
They're like, they're like a giant termite.
Yeah it's massive. Like this Georgia Tech biophysicist by the name of Dr. Bamba said it's like an entire alien species living underneath our feet. And then some prime number years, they come out to say hello. And they're often mistaken for locusts.
Yeah,
but cicadas, periodical cicadas, are more annoying rather than causing any economic damage. They can sometimes hurt young trees and some fruit crops, but it isn't widespread and it can be prevented. The largest geographic brood in the nation called... Read your your Roman letters. What's an X and an I and an X?
10, 19.
So brood 19 comes out every 13 years. It's about to march through the Southwest. In the red Georgia clay, you can already see the boreholes all over the place. And it's the sign of the upcoming cicada occupation, Julia.
They're called brood X,
Yeah, and they emerge when the ground gets exactly to 64 degrees, which is happening earlier because of climate change. And after the insects appear in large numbers in Georgia and the rest of the Southeast, the cicada cousins that come out every 17 years called brood XIII.
12.
Okay, brood 12. They will inundate Illinois.
That's Illinois and Indiana and Ohio. Look at the map, Lori.
Yeah. It's just in a few places, and there's 15 broods that come out every 17 and 13 years. But in this small area near central Illinois, the numbers that will come out are going to average easily hundreds of trillions and quadrillion. But we don't really have to worry about the cicada palooza until 2076.
Oh, God.
This is just a cicada geddon.
Okay, good.
Okay, and fat, slow, and tasty periodical cicadas, birds love to eat them, and people who love to eat cicadas love to eat them. They're cicada-licious.
They're found, outside the ground and in trees. Like, you'll find one parked up alongside, like, a tree in the bark, and they just, like, hide in there. That's where I have found them most of my life.
And they're looking at all the pictures of them.
Yeah, so anyway... there's a cicada safari app to track where the cicadas are, but we're not going to have the mind-boggling cicada palooza until 2076, but there is going to be a cicada geddon in a few parts of the U.S.
And how loud they are, Lori.
They are.
They're in decibels. The male.
Over a jet, right?
Yeah, 140 decibels air jet taking off at 100 feet. 130 decibels jackhammer at 6 feet. An Australian, it's like as loud as a siren on an ambulance. like a lawnmower at 3 feet. Oh, this is the moderate. The faint will be like whispering and leaves rustling, but
they're singing. They want a mate.
Yeah, that's a mate.
It's
yeah.
a call to mating.
It's
like walking into a bar with a, you know, walking into
this ought to be good. I'm yeah. just curious. Wait, I okay. wait. Locking yeah. into bar that's with no, your no. Pants
walking
down.
Walking into U.S. Bank Stadium.
Okay,
and there's 64,000 guys in there, and they're all singing the same Skull. Song at the top of their lungs.
Skull.
Yeah, trying Skull. To get women to come in.
Banging the gong.
Banging the gongs and everything
okay,
else.
Okay, so think it's of this. So, it's mid, I'm going to a wedding in early June in Chicago.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think it's a little bit later for Illinois.
Okay.
These hideaway cicadas are what's going to come out in Illinois. They're only in a few other places, so they probably aren't going to overlap. Wow. But there is a small area.
Imagine if you really lived in the heart of it and how I lived. Okay, so one of my homes after I got divorced, my townhome mm-hmm. was right over a little waterway attached to a golf course.
Mm-hmm.
And
was it frogs?
Oh, I had never heard anything so loud. And I thought, I don't want to be in the water in the cities on a swamp.
Mm-hmm.
They were so loud. It was so annoying.
Too much noise.
Too much noise listening to the frogs.
Yeah.
It was just like, I don't need this water view.
Right. This is not brown
I
nose.
Have that, yeah. You open your windows and it's like, just shut up.
I mean, but just give me a break.
You can't. I know. You can't shut it out.
No, you can't. But so like there's two sounds. Like there's a rattling sound that one makes. And this is the most common, like on a summer, midsummer day.
Okay, let's
you know,
listen.
You'll hear this. This is the sound you're hearing when it's a cicada. It's just that high pitch.
Not good.
That's and with multiples going on at once. But I mean, any person who spends, you know, some time outside in the summertime, you'll hear that like high pitched sound, and that's them shaking that jet like muscle that you're talking about.
Yeah.
Oh, it's
ready to jump on the first lady cicada that's ready to be muscled.
I love it.
Okay, so do you remember the Locust movie, The Locusts Are Coming? The Locusts Are Coming.
Yes, I do.
I swear, I thought it was Kim Novak. It starred Paul Newman, William Holden, Kim Novak, and Natalie Wood, or Elizabeth Taylor. I mean, The Locusts Are Coming. I thought it was Linda Pearl because she was just here.
Yeah.
But don't you remember seeing in the Dust Bowl whoever that young actress was covered in locusts? And I thought, there is nothing worse than that thought of a gazillion bugs coming at you.
Yeah.
The locusts are coming. The locusts are coming.
Oh, those big patches of locusts.
Oh! That would
ultimate, yeah, no, I'm good. Running inside.
That happened to me on my motorcycle, though, once over in, we were like in Wisconsin, and we were going.
Oh,
wow. I can't remember what the road that goes down into Afton from off of 61.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of a nice little motorcycle road, and it was kind of, you know, a summer, and a farmer was out pulling one of those long things that like furrow the field up.
Sure,
so it goes across.
Yep.
Yeah.
Tiller, is that what it's called?
I believe it's tilling it. Yeah.
And it goes by us and this huge cloud of dust and everything. And we were covered in locusts. Like they were in the field.
Oh.
And we all pulled up to the stop sign and there were like eight of us. So we ride staggered. And we all pulled up and we were all absolutely crunchy with our glasses, our vests, our machines, our chaps.
Did it hurt?
Did
you burst out laughing?
We burst out laughing because for 30 seconds, no one could see a damn thing. And we were so good, none of us ran into each other.
That's right, scary thing,
yeah. And we just started laughing. We're like, look at us.
Bad. Look at us. All right. Look at us. We're going to give away a pair of tickets to a really cool show the minute we come back. Hey, we will take first three callers to 651-641-1071. If you are a Matchbox 20 fan, they are going to be at the Minnesota State Fair Grandstand on Friday, August 30th at 7 p.m. Tickets don't go on sale till this Friday a.m.
Announced.
Yep.
Just announced, and, Julia. There's only four more shows that we're going to hear about.
Right. And we are going to have you finish the line. So give Grant a call and he will line you up and tell us your names. And we will take that.
You're going to have to finish a song. And we're going to be like real gentle with you guys for finishing the song. Because luckily Matchbox 20 has a lot of recognizable hits.
They really do.
Now, whether or not you can fill in the line when the radio suddenly goes silent near your ear,
We wish you luck.
Yeah, we wish you luck.
We wish you luck. While that's happening, Lori, did you guys talk about Scoop yesterday? Did you watch it?
I haven't watched it.
Oh, I watched it.
And I want to watch it. And I can't believe that's Rufus Sewell playing Andrew.
It's good.
Yeah.
It's good. I watched it. The people are upset about one scene, but big deal. I was shocked.
He did all that.
Yeah.
Andrew in real time blew up his life.
He did that. And but there's an egregious spot that they didn't need to do of him.
Oh, okay. Yeah, oh, the teddy bears?
No, that was all there, but the other thing. But I just think, I don't want to tell people about
it. No, I know, but it is called Scoop, and it is about what happened behind the scene of his infamous 2019 News Night interview.
His press secretary blew it for him.
Yes, he did, because
it was a she.
She encouraged his delusional belief that he could explain his way out of something when the whole palace thing has always been never complain, never explain. Yeah. And there was Andrew complaining and explaining badly.
It's so good. It's okay, really good. I'd watch it, Scoop. It was really good. It's fast paced. You will be shocked.
Rufus Sewell has been doing interviews for it. And he, in an interview with the New York Times, he said, that interview shows there's a bit of hereditary delusion in the royal family.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Grant, do we have our listeners lined
up? Yes, we've got Elizabeth is our first guest. Susie is our second. Bonnie is our third. And then we've got Tana as our fourth, if we get to that far.
Okay.
But got Elizabeth ready to
Elizabeth,
go.
How are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Are you feeling lucky?
I don't know about that, but I'm going to give it a shot.
All right. Awesome. Way to get your fingers on the dial pad there. Okay, here we go. Grant will play it. When it stops, you finish the line.
Do we know what song they're playing? Did he tell me what song he's
playing? We're not going to tell you. You will recognize it.
Okay.
Here we go.
She says, baby, it's 3 a.m. and I must be lonely.
Congratulations.
Woohoo!
Woohoo is right. Awesome. We're going to have these.
I really do like them.
I do, too. And I was just talking to Lori about it.
They have so many good songs.
They do. I want to go see them, I think. They're good.
They do, and I was just talking to my girlfriend about them the other day. I was like, whatever happened to them? And I love that song, Push, and 3 a.m.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, but he's really cute.
He is really cute. We agree with you.
Yeah.
Okay. Elizabeth.
And the last time they were here was they were at Treasure Island last June, and people loved that show.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that's so awesome. Yeah. His name is Rob.
Thomas.
Thomas.
Yes.
We love him.
He's a cutie.
Yes. He is a cutie. And hopefully they'll have somebody good open for him.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know that yet.
Oh, my gosh. Yay.
Yay, Elizabeth. All right, Grant, we'll get your information.
Susie and Bonnie are like going, that was so good.
We're giving them away for the rest of the week, guys.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Susie and Bonnie.
Okay.
All right, you've got it. Grant will take you away. Okay, Lori, back to Scoop just for a hot second.
Yeah.
And this is when Prince Andrew sat down with the BBC and basically blew up his life and immediately lost his royal everything, privileges,
everything. He had to revoke his royal duties. It was such a shambles.
Immediately. And all I'm going to say is, you talked about the delusional part. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you see this, and what I remember reading about Prince Charles is that he never put his toothpaste on his toothbrush. You know, they have been so coddled and taken care of and don't know real world.
But Andrew was truly delusional, that he wouldn't be asked, why did you keep hanging out with Epstein after he got convicted of pedophilia? Well, I knew him and I liked him, so why would it matter to anybody? He truly was delusional.
You got to watch this movie, people, if you haven't seen it. It was really good.
I watched it on the BBC that night. We came to work the next day and we were like,
shocked.
We couldn't believe that someone gave permission for that interview to be done at Buckingham Palace. So I am very curious to know the story about the woman who convinces Andrew's press secretary that this is a good idea.
Just watch it. It's such a good movie. It's Scoop. It's on Netflix. We were
transfixed.
Yeah, it was really good.
I tried watching Sugar. Well, I did watch one episode of Sugar with
Anne?
Casey. That's the Colin Farrell.
Yeah. It's like a noir murder mystery of a famous director in Hollywood in the 40s.
Yeah, and he's this film. No, not in the 40s. Oh. It's current time.
Oh, it is.
It's current time. But he's Colin Farrell's character is obsessed with 40s movies.
That's it.
And
I read that somewhere.
Yeah, I got to say that I'm going to have to watch another episode, but Casey hated it.
Oh, he did.
But he's going to watch another episode. Okay. I said, you can't, you got
to
watch two.
You're willing to give it a two. Okay.
You got to give it two.
I'll wait to hear back from you.
Yeah. It had shades of, I don't know what it reminded me of, but Casey thought that Colin Farrell's character was corny. And I mean, that is a sin with Casey, is a corny private investigator.
Okay, I love that.
He was quite offended.
The Cardinals.
He was quite offended.
I draw the line
with the corny private eye.
That's hysterical. That is really funny, Lori. Oh my gosh.
I mean, I'm filling in with, but he's like, yeah, why is he bugging me? I said, John Sugar is kind of corny. I don't like mm-hmm. it, you know? But anyway, he might have been falling asleep on his rubber ball that he sits on.
Well, I sat
his
next
TV.
To him at the concert.
Oh, you did? Did you mm-hmm. see him close his eyes? Yeah. Mm-hmm. He has an amazing ability to close his eyes for just a second. He's done it for years.
It's called mm-hmm. watching the back of your eyelids. That's what my dad always called it. I'm just watching the back of my eyelids.
Honestly.
I love it, Lori. Mm-hmm. I love it. All right. So tonight, if you're just curious on late night, Freddie Highmore is on Jimmy Kimmel. Sherry Shepherd is on Jimmy Kimmel. Maren Morris is on Stephen Colbert. And Conan O'Brien, Nicole Richie is on Jimmy Fallon. We haven't seen her forever.
Conan O'Brien. Yeah. That'll be fun.
So
He's promoting his travel show.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Thanks, Grant.
Yes. Elizabeth wanted to say that she loves you guys. You've given her so much joy over the years. And we didn't have time to get her to say that on the air, but she thanks you for everything.
Thank you, Elizabeth. Yeah. Thanks. And remember, we're giving away tickets the rest of the week. We'll be right back tomorrow. It's Lori and Julia.